The wonderful weekend world of Monitor. H. Morgan here. Wanderley with Amanya. All the world's a stage, but according to Ray Farkas, who does a weekly feature for us on Washington humor, some of the best performances these days are in the area of politics. Ray?
1966 confirmed what a lot of people always suspected. Politics and show business are just about the same. Ronald Reagan, for instance, became governor of California. And possibly as a preview of things to come, Washington's congressional gag men were constantly upstaged by real pros. For instance, Bob Hope at a dinner where President Johnson showed up by surprise.
I want you to know that this material was written without the knowledge that you were going to be here. Anyway, I want to say that it's nice to be here in Washington, or as the Republicans call it, Camp Runamuck. No, it's nice to be back here in Birdland, and I just want to say, I have to do it, sir. It's on the paper.
Comedian Jimmy Durante was invited to speak at the National Press Club.
Ever since I got a letter from Mr. Booth inviting me to be the speaker at this wonderful club, I've been in a state of collapse. Asking me to speak is like asking the president to sing Inka Dinka Doo.
At the same National Press Club, Shirley Temple talks politics.
They ran George Murphy's old movies on TV. He made it to the Senate. They're running yours, too. What office do you have in mind? And
well, I've thought of this already, but I can't quite visualize California with a governess.
And then, out of the late, late show, rode Ronald Reagan, actor, politician, and now governor of California. He visits Washington during the campaign.
Are you prepared or interested in taking on LBJ in 1968?
I could tell a very naughty story that illustrates that, but I won't. It's taken me all my life to get up the nerve to do what I'm doing.
On another occasion, Reagan acknowledges a warm and lengthy introduction.
You know, you took me back a ways there. Farther back than I should or would like to admit. And it does go back a ways. I discovered this one night when I was sitting in an open car out in Hollywood to ride in the annual Santa Claus parade. And they had my name in quite large print on the side of the car and two teenagers. And we all know the importance of teenagers to people in the theatrical business. Two teenage girls came walking down the line reading the names in the cars, and they came to mine. And one of them read the name and then stepped up and asked for an autograph. And while I was signing, she nudged her friend and said if my mother were here, she'd flip. The thing that disturbed me was I had a feeling if her mother were there, I'd flip.
Governor Reagan is not unaware that reruns on television of his old movies didn't hurt his campaign.
Sometimes as I sit there, I think It's like looking at a son you never knew you had. I've got one friend who stays up to look at his old pictures just to watch his hairline recede. But now it's a whole new world. And, of course, a lot of... It's a great new experience for me. You know, it's been pretty simplified by one member of my family, the 8-year-old that I have at home. And he doesn't understand why I have to be away or go around and do things like this or make speeches. He figures I just ought to go to Sacramento and stand up there in the middle of the street and say, "Pat, one of us has got to be out of town by sunup."
The migration from Hollywood to Washington has just begun. Out of the 1966 Oscar Award ceremonies may emerge a future president. Ray Farkas, NBC News, Washington.
Ray will keep us posted on the humorous aspects of Washington politics during the coming year. Unless, of course, he's offered a screen test, then who knows? Music from Black Orpheus by Jack Jones.
A day in the life of a fool. A sad and a long, lonely day. I walk the avenue and hope I'll run into the welcome side of you coming my way. I stop just across from your door. But you're never home anymore. So back to my room, and there in the gloom, I cry tears of goodbye. Till you come back to me, that's the way it will be every day in the life of a
fool. 18 minutes past the hour. You are on the Monitor Beacon. Here's a good sound for New Year's Eve. The Glenn Miller Orchestra, under the direction of Buddy DeFranco. The old Tommy Dorsey theme has changed a little over the years. That current version in Tijuana brass style was by the Glenn Miller Orchestra. And that's a band you're going to hear live later in the evening on NBC Radio's All-Star Parade of Bands. 12 of the top bands in the nation will swing in the new year, beginning with Vaughn Monroe, Leston Harry Elgart, who'll be on monitor later. Others include Harry James, Count Basie, Benny Goodman, Gene Krupa, and Jonah Jones. So stick around for all the Charlie on the All-Star Parade of Bands. What'd he say? Right now, the action's with Joe Garagiola.
Well, in a few hours, it will be 1967. But before we say goodbye to the old year, it might be a good idea to take one last look back at what it meant to the sports fans. The things that happen on the field are part of the record books now, and the big ones in that area are something that no one has to be reminded of. But there were other things that are worth remembering. For one thing, peace came to the two professional football leagues. I suppose that someday fans will find it hard to believe that we could have been so surprised that it happened. But they won't remember all the quotes of not long ago that said, it could never be done. But now we have a common draft and a Super Bowl. And the owners even speak to each other. Peace. It's wonderful. If there was one thing that stood out about 1966, it's that it came to be the year of retirement. The Yankees had it happen twice. In the early part of the year, shortstop Tony Kubek decided to retire. And after the season, his buddy second baseman Bobby Richardson also left baseball. Horse racing lost two of its top riders. One was steeplechaser Pat Smithwick, and the other was the veteran Johnny Longden. And the sport suffered another loss, too, when the horse some people consider the greatest of them all, Kelso, finally was set out to pasture. George Weiss, for many years the boss of the Yankees, and in recent years the president of the Mets, was another who retired, turning the reins over to Bing Devine. But the two big retirement stories of the year were athletes. One was the great running back of the Cleveland Browns, Jimmy Brown, who gave up football to concentrate on the business world and the movies. The other was Sandy Koufax, who felt that the pains of arthritis were too tough to let him go on rewriting baseball's record book. You'll tell your grandchildren about these men. I hope they believe you. There were also many great names in sports who said their last goodbye. Racing lost its grand old gentleman, Sonny Jim Fitzsimmons. And the world of basketball said goodbye to veteran coach Everett Case and Abe Saperstein, the man who gave the world the Harlem Globetrotters. Death took two former boxing champions, one-time boss of the light heavyweights, Mike McTeague, and the former middleweight champ, Randy Turpin. The world of golf lost one of its elder statesmen, Jim Barnes, and a bright young star, Champagne Tony Lima. Football lost one-time St. Mary's coach, Slip Madigan, and the man who was probably his most famous graduate, former Navy coach, Eddie Ertelatz. One of the giants of the sports world, wrestler Strangler Lewis, was another who passed on. Three men who both played and managed in the big leagues were among baseball's casualties. Charlie Dressen and the man who succeeded him, Bob Swift, both died during the year. And so did Bob Elliott, who managed at Kansas City after a very successful playing career. Baseball also lost two of its most colorful umpires, Bill Summers and Big George Majorkurth. 1966 was the year that Bill Russell succeeded Red Auerbach as coach of the Boston Celtics, and another color barrier fell. And it was the year Casey Stengel and Ted Williams became Hall of Famers. I hope it was a good year for you. I hope next year is even better. Happy New Year. This is Joe Garagiola for Monitor Sports.
Joe's with us every weekend of the year on Monitor. Weekdays, catch his sports show on NBC Radio. Like to remind you sports fans that the Buffalo Bills and the Kansas City Chiefs will play for the American Football League Championship tomorrow, and that game will be on NBC Radio and television. Then on Monday, a triple header of bowl games, the Sugar, Rose, and Orange Bowls, all brought to you on NBC Radio and TV. Here and now on Monitor, something new by Margaret Whiting.
Time after time. Time after time.
Time. After time, I tell myself that I'm so lucky to be loving you. So lucky to be see in the evening when the day is through. I only know what I know. The passing years will show. You kept my love so young, so new.
It's been said that no one ever regarded the 1st of January with indifference. Another year slipped by, and you somehow figure the next one will pass even more quickly. I think it was George Bernard Shaw who said, there's only one way to defy time, and that's to have young ideas, which may always be trusted to find youthful and vivid expression. And he died. Comfort with that happy feeling. We'll be back with the Happy New Year sounds of Monitor after a break for our NBC stations along the line, one of which is WJPG, Green Bay, Wisconsin. This is Mr. Morgan.
This is Mel Allen. Complete coverage of the American League Championship football game tomorrow on NBC Radio and Television.
The biggest sport in New York is Bill Mazur. Bill answers your sports questions Monday through Friday at 5:10 and Saturdays at 6:15 on 660 Radio. He's sometimes humorous, sometimes controversial, but always factual. In New York, the name Mazur means sports.
Happy New Year from the big voice of the big town USA, WNBC, New York.
Morgan here, and Monitor for 66, trying for 67. You know what's coming back in 67? The movie musical, which is good news for fans of the singing and dancing pictures. We have that on good authority from a public relations man who represents a number of top stars, and he'll be our guest in a couple of minutes, after that fellow who calls himself Stutz Bearcat gives us the saga of Lucky Lindy.
He was born with wings as great as any bird that flies. A lucky star guides him afar.
Lucky Lindy, up in the sky, fair or windy, he's flying high. Look at you flying across the ocean, boy. All alone, sweetheart, all by yourself. Lucky you're not on the shelf. You're going to Gay Paris, Gay Paris, where you'll show everyone, how to really be free. Oh, lucky Lindy, oh, lucky Lindy.
Since we're looking ahead to the new year, we may as well look for some bright areas, some happy prospects. If you happen to be a movie fan, and if you have a fond remembrance of the old musicals that came out of Hollywood for so many years, and that have been missing for so many years, well, we can reasonably hope for better things to come in the way of film musicals. There have been signs that the movie musical is coming back, and a man who reads those signs very well is John Springer, who is president of a prestigious public relations firm, which represents a number of top stars. Now, Mr. Springer owns one of the most complete and comprehensive files of screen and theater pictures, and many of the pictures appear in a new pictorial history of the movie musical that he's written under the title of All Talking, All Singing, All Dancing. That title, Mr. Springer, comes from the old Broadway melody era, doesn't it?
It certainly does. In those days, every picture that came out, it was a big new deal even to have pictures talk. And then as soon as they could sing and as soon as somebody danced, they made that the big thing on their marquees.
That's even before we knew who was in the picture. It just said, all talking, all singing, all dancing.
Right. But somewhere you'd find Bessie Love or Nancy Carroll or Sue Carroll or somebody.
Hidden under the sounds.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was just talking, as you may have heard since you were sitting here, about the fact that musicals may come back. How do you feel about that?
Well, I think there are all kinds of signs that are hopeful. The last big era of original movie musicals was in the days of Singin' in the Rain, the Gene Kelly era, Betty Comden and Adolph Green, Vincent Minnelli, and so forth. They were doing the big, good original things. Since then, there have been occasional Broadway adaptations, a lot of Elvis Presley and Annette Funicello stuff. But it's just in the last couple of years that movie musicals have begun to show up again. Sound of Music is a movie musical, even though it was adapted from a pretty corny stage one. It's been an enormous success. So is West Side Story, and then so too are the Beatles pictures and things like Mary Poppins, which were original musicals in their own way.
Yeah.
So now there are all kinds of signs. They're about to do, Barbara Streisand's about to do Funny Girl with Sidney Lumet directing. Betty and Adolph and Minnelli have joined again to do a new show, hopefully slated for Julie Andrews and Frank Sinatra and Jack Jones, called Say It With Music, which will be a Singin' in the Rain kind of cavalcade of Irving Berlin songs. Camelot's being done.
Yeah. Now, actually, you put this together from your own personal collection of pictures.
Yes.
And knowledge, and certainly you are knowledgeable. You've represented motion picture and theater clients for a long time. You represent the Burtons, don't you?
Yes, among others.
Who are some of the others?
Oh, I represent Henry Fonda, Bob Preston, Mike Nichols, Godfrey Cambridge, Ramsey Lewis, Victor Borga, Phyllis Diller, a few...
Maybe I should put it this way. Who don't you represent? I know you don't represent me, but I can't.
No,
do,
I don't, Henry.
I can't
sorry.
Do very much. I don't no. sing and I don't dance. If they made a picture with me, it'd be no singing, no dancing, and a lot of talking.
A lot of jokes.
Maybe. Do you believe the bigger the star, the bigger the person he is?
I found that almost every case.
Uh-huh.
Almost always.
It always seems that way to me, that the people who make all the trouble, who are so-called temperamental and who show up late and so forth, are always... Grade B, C, and D.
Inevitably.
Yeah, the A people don't do that. What are you doing now with somebody?
Well, right now, I'm handling a picture that just opened, A Man for All Seasons. Mm-hmm. And later, when I leave here, I'll be picking up Fred Zinnemann to go on a couple of dates involving a man for all seasons.
Pictures are going to be better than ever, then.
I have every hope.
Yeah, it's funny. When television first came in, we thought it would be all over. Or somebody thought so. Yeah. I didn't. But there's obviously room to spare for many.
And even for pictures on television suddenly turn out to be the thing, don't they?
Yeah, they're hurting a number of things I'm doing. However, I'm sure they'll run out of the good pictures and go back to some of the stuff from the bottom of the drawer. Ladies and gentlemen, the book is all talking, all singing, all dancing. And if you're anywhere near my age, wowee, will you have fun with this book. It's an era and then some. Mr. Springer, it's been a delight talking with you. Thanks for coming by.
Thank you.
Since we talked with John Springer, the picture he mentioned, A Man for All Seasons, has been voted the best English language film of the year by the New York film critics. Conniff Singers with a Wednesday's Child. In 3 minutes, Nichols and May with a somewhat different theme on the Eternal Triangle. And you are on the monitor beacon. At 14 minutes before the hour, this is Morgan and Monitor. We'll be right back. A Sign of the Times by Les and Larry Algart, who'll be with us on the All-Star Parade of Bands later. Next, Monitor on Stage. Another performance recorded live at a leading night spot. Here's Tony Bennett.
Come on along and listen to the lullaby of Broadway. The hip hooray and ballyhoo. Lullaby of Broadway. The rumble of a subway train. The rattle of a taxi. The daffodils who entertain that Angelo's and Maxie's. Hush-a-bye, I'll buy you this and that. You'll hear a daddy saying, baby goes home to her flat to sleep all day. Good night, baby. Good night, the milkman's on his way. Sleep tight. Come on along and listen to the lullaby of Broadway. The band begins to go to town and everything gets hazy. You rock a by your baby round to Wellington on Basie. Hush a by, I'll buy you this and that. You'll hear that it's there. Baby goes home to her flat to sleep all day. Good night, baby. Good night, the milkman's on his way. Sleep tight, baby. Sleep tight, let's call it a day. But listen to the lullaby of old.
Monitor on Stage with Tony Bennett. Do you think a girl should find out what a fellow's friends are like before she agrees to marry him? Or don't answer that one until you've heard this scene with Mike Nichols and Elaine May.
Sally, I want you to meet Arthur, who is my very closest and best friend. Arthur, this is Sally, the girl I'm going to marry that you've heard so much about.
Oh, how do you do, Arthur?
How do you do, Sally?
Heard a lot about you. That's all Bill talks about is Arthur, Arthur, Arthur.
I just let you two talk and get acquainted.
Darling, will you get me a drink?
Surely.
Scotch.
Right. So you're marrying Bill.
Yes, I am. I've heard so much about you.
And I about you.
Oh, he just worships you. Bill talks about you all the time, and from the moment we met, practically, that's all he's wanted is that we meet, you know.
Well, we mean quite a lot to each other. We were in the Army together.
Oh, yes, I know.
Yeah, and then we started that business together for a while after the Army.
Know,
and although
I know.
It didn't work out, we've always been very close since then.
Oh, I know. He really just adores you.
Yeah, we're very fond of each other.
Well, I know that.
I always think of him as just my Bill.
Oh, really? I think of him the same way.
Well, I guess it'll be three of us now. Do you ski?
Pardon?
Do you ski?
No, I don't.
Yeah, we'll have to teach you.
Oh, I hope I can learn.
Well, it's not that tough. Not everybody breaks a leg.
No, oh, I know. No, I know.
Is he,
Do you...
Is Bill all over that emotional trouble that he had?
Pardon?
Well, you know, when he was so worried, did he want to get married, didn't he?
Oh, well,
He was really having problems about it for a while there. He used to come and talk to me about it.
I suppose that, you know, we're always, no, you know, that's such a big step that...
Yeah, I guess when you stopped pushing him, it was easier for him.
Well, I don't think that I pushed him ever. I mean, I hope
he
I didn't...
He thought so.
Really? Gee, I mean, he proposed, so I don't know how that's pushing.
Oh, is that the story now?
Well, I mean, that's what happened. Why, did he say that he didn't?
Well, I don't know. Maybe it was personal. I don't know how much he tells you.
Well, I mean, he doesn't have to tell me that he proposed because I know it. Oh, Bill, hi.
Here's your drink, honey.
Thank you, darling.
Well, how are you two been getting along?
Oh, just fine. Just fine.
Yeah, fine.
Well,
Well, I'll just go refresh my drink.
It was awfully nice meeting you.
It's nice to meet you, Nancy.
Sally, thank you. Nice to meet you.
I'll see you, boy.
Yeah, boy. What were you talking about?
You.
Marie, what'd you say?
He was just telling me how you and he talked together and about how you discuss his emotional problem. How you discuss your emotional problems and how you used to discuss the fact that I was pushing you into marriage and how obviously that you had told him that you hadn't proposed, but I was getting you to. And he just told me how I had to go skiing and it would be the three of us and how much you didn't want to get married and how he was talking to you about it all the time because I pushed you into it.
Well, it sounds like you two really got along.
I sure wish I'd listened to my best friend. I would never have gotten into the... Nichols and May are regulars throughout the Monitor Week. You know what it has cost up till now? And in light of the scene, they just... Kiss tomorrow goodbye, Jane Morgan.
Goodbye, my love. I know we're through. Tonight will be... Don't say a word, don't even try. It's best that we kiss tomorrow goodbye.
I planned very definitely not to think about tomorrow night. I also plan not to think tomorrow. Live for the moment, I say, and it's really not such a hollow philosophy. May I quote you a small passage which says it all beautifully? It's from a poem by Ernest Dowson. They are not long, the days of wine and roses. Out of a misty dream, our path emerges for a while, then closes within a dream.
Thank you.
Games That Lovers Play by Mantovani. Okay, all you revelers. Let me tell you about an ad I saw in the paper yesterday. It said, "If your cup runneth over, let somebody else runneth the car." That's all it said, except the name of the advertiser was at the bottom, and surprisingly enough, it was the name of a liquor distributor. Good for him. H. Morgan from Monitor. News is next.
Gene Krupa and the All-Star Parade of Bands tonight on the NBC Radio Network.
Happy New Year from the big voice of Big Town USA, WNBC, New York.